Self-righteous anger is a very important ingredient in many Hollywood movies. Think of the school bully, the drug dealer, the corrupt politician, the greedy rich executive, the terrorist, the bigot, the ethnic cleanser, the guy who wants to take over the world. All these characters grate at our senses of what is right. They make us cringe. But slowly and surely, the hero or heroine or heroes get in control, and the tyrant pays the ultimate terrible price. And it makes us feel good. It makes us sometimes cheer at their demise. It stirs our self-righteous anger. Anger in and of itself does not really do that. Anger kind of makes us feel uncomfortable and edgy. But self-righteous anger makes us feel superior. It can go down like a sweet, cool drink on a hot day. It elevates us nicely above those who are beneath us. It is refreshing when the bad guy gets what is coming to them. And self-righteous anger still feels good, even though we've watched that movie 5 or 6 times. I think I've watched Independence Day 7 or 8 times. It's not the greatest movie in the world. It really isn't. But boy, it's fun. And that final scenes where those terrible aliens get what's coming to them. Yay! However, this is Lent. And Lent is a good time to look at something that feels so good and yet has the word anger attached to it. Self-righteous anger is not bad in all instances. But let's look at it. And we'll look at it because the gospel reading is a fantastic vehicle to do just that. So here we have Jesus. He's hanging out with his buddies. He's hanging out with his own people, his own folk, his brothers and sisters, and literally brothers and sisters, his fellow Galileans. And they tell him about, and I quote, the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Let's take a close look at what they're talking about. So the Galileans, the Judeans, the Israelites, had been occupied by Rome for some time. They were oppressed. In many respects, they were slaves. And if that's not all enough, Pilate commits this particular atrocity. And the atrocity that he's talking about is that Galileans were slaughtered at the temple in Jerusalem, and their blood mixed with the blood of the sacrificial lambs. It is a wicked and brutal and despicable crime. It is a crime against their culture, their religion, and their humanity. In the 20th century, in World War I, there were a couple of stories that were told about the Germans. One was that when they entered a town, they would kill children in a most gruesome sort of way. Another story that was told was that prisoners of war, when they were caught, were crucified upside down and left to be found by their comrades. You may remember well in Kuwait, in the Gulf War in 1993, there were wide reports that the Iraqis came into Kuwait hospitals and took children incubators back to Iraq, leaving their children to die. None of those three stories was true. Not one. Not ever. It never happened. And it was well investigated, and they didn't happen. But if you, at the time, had questioned those stories, you would have been called a traitor. Self-righteous anger is best not investigated or explored too closely. Self-righteous anger has a precarious grip on reality and can be easily manipulated. Now, there's no way of knowing if Pilate actually did this particular atrocity. We don't know. But clearly, the story was meant to move Jesus. Clearly, the story was meant to incite his self-righteous anger. You have to remember, many of his followers did believe that he was the Messiah, and to them, the Messiah was going to come to Jerusalem and overthrow the Roman Empire, however he was going to do that. I don't think they had any illusion that it was going to be a peaceful turnover. I think they thought God would be on his side and the Romans would be slain and thrown out and never seen again. The story was told to Jesus to incite his self-righteous anger. However, as we read in the gospel, it doesn't do that. He doesn't go along. In fact, Jesus turns the table and asks them a question. He says, and I quote, he asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish the way they did." Jesus here is responding to the commonly held notion at the time that those who suffered must have deserved it in some way. They did something wrong, something sinful in the eyes of God. And to underline this, he tells the story of the Tower of Siloam, where people who died, and there were those who did not die, and he says to his compatriots, neither one of them were worse than the others. Now, this is very important. Jesus is not saying that the Romans are good or that their oppression is anything but that oppression. The Roman sins are what they are. They're grievous. They're horrible. They're completely unjust. What he is saying is that he and his followers will not be defined by the actions of their enemies. He will not be a party to this kind of self-righteous anger. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus spells this out clearly and repeatedly. He says, and I quote, "Who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt?" He challenges that. In the Gospel of Luke, he also, when judging, "It is better to look for the log in your own eye before searching for a speck in your neighbor's eye." Or perhaps you could add, in your enemy's eye. Today, many groups are exceedingly quick to blame other groups for the ills of the world that we find today. Religions blame other religions. The far left blames the far right. The centrists blame the fundamentalists, the militarists, the industrialists. There's lots of blame to go around. And amid all this blame and noise and argument and counter-argument and anger, Jesus says, hold on. If the answer to your self-righteous anger is more violence, if the answer is more oppression, if the answer is more justice, more of what made you angry in the first place, maybe you should take a step back for a moment and think about it. And immediately after that, he says this parable about the fig tree. Now, a very quick, short lesson in New Testament theology. Quite often, when Jesus has a parable after a lesson that he gave, we really aren't sure whether that happened. He would have said the parable, but we're not exactly sure that it became after that lesson. Quite often, we think that's not true. However, this one I do believe to be, because it fits so perfectly with what he just said. And it's an odd little parable, but he tells it. And here's what I think he's getting at. He brings us right down to the ground. Remember the parable of a farmer goes up and to the caretaker who's taking care of the ground. He says, this old fig tree is not producing any fruit. Cut it down. The guy who's standing there says, no, just wait. I'll air it out. I'll put manure on it. And we'll give it one more year. And we assume the farmer goes away. Okay. Jesus brings us right down to the ground, literally. He's asking us, are we like that fig tree? Not bearing fruit, but just taking up space. He says, give yourself some time. Give yourself some air when you have that feeling of self-righteous anger that you would like to someone else to suffer the consequences. He says, and this is kind of important, I think, by the way, it also wouldn't hurt to take your shoes off and step in some manure. That's exactly what he's saying here. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that. Intentionally or unintentionally. I have unintentionally stepped into a really big cow pie. And it was so fresh that it was still warm. Squeezing between the toes. Let me tell you, it brings you right down to reality. Nothing else really cares at that moment. You think to yourself, oh, okay. Perspective is an important thing. Jesus says, step back. Take some breath of air and step in some manure. This is Lent. Jesus is saying, let us ground ourselves. Let us literally ground ourselves and bear some fruit. It may take some time, but that's okay. Because Jesus is reminding us that we are, all of us together, the solution to the world's problems. So let us be defined by the fruit that we bear and not by the judgments of anger that we may hold over others. Amen.